Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the UFO Files. I'm Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from the Flamingo Hilton in Laughlin, Nevada, the big UFO Congress underway, the 13th Annual UFO Congress and Film Festival. Lots of very interesting people have been here. In fact, later in the program, we'll be talking to Wendell Stevens, who has a very interesting story. I met his German interpreter earlier today about a fellow who was brought aboard a ship, ran across several different species of aliens. I think you'll find that interesting. We'll be talking to Mike Marino, and Mike Marino, of course, is the producer of the webcast emanating from here on Saturday, and it's available on demand all next week. And speaking of producers and people behind the scenes who make things happen, we have Larry Dickham with us. How are you, Larry?
Good evening, Jerry. I'm doing fine. I'm back here 2,500 miles away from you, approximately, in New Jersey. And
has your weather improved?
It's been decent. I mean, you know, it's at least we're not in Antarctica anymore. But
well, it's nice here, except the wind is cold coming off the Colorado River.
But we're going to have on Sunday. It's supposed to go back into the deep freeze for a couple of days, so I'll enjoy it while I can.
Well, you know, there are a lot of international people here at the UFO Congress, and later on in the program, by the way, Nancy McKinney, our production assistant out here, who's been going to every one of these seminars, by the way, Larry, she hasn't missed any of them.
Well, she must have much more energy than I would have.
She's going to give us later in the program a little synopsis. We remember we had her on earlier in the week, and we covered up through Tuesday, and now she's going to make up for the rest of it. So basically, she'll be able to tell all of us a little thumbnail sketch about what we missed and all of that. So even though you're there in Secaucus, 2,500 miles away, and our listeners are spread around the world, they at least can get a gist of this conference, which is always successful.
Yeah, I hear they have, 1,000 people out there this year?
Yeah, at least. And we, at the party last night, the speaker's party, you talked to Bob Brown, the promoter, and Bob has said that he's looking forward to the 14th Congress, the UFO Congress, which will be next year, so all the plans are going forward. I know he always has lots of speakers from the UK. In fact, one of the people from Pioneer Radio is here.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. And Mr. Simone. And people listen to him. And in fact, we'll be doing a show with him later on that'll be ran probably in a couple of weeks.
But yeah, we'll be
taping it sometime tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the Headroom show. It's supposed to be the Art Bell show of Great Britain over there, I was noticing his guest list. He has basically a once a week show that he does on regular broadcast radio, and Pioneer picks him up and broadcasts his show on Sunday and Saturday, and it's a looks like a really good show. I mean, he has many guests on there that we've had on our show, and I'm not going to go through and name them all because we all know who they are.
Yeah, right. In addition to that, you know, I visited with him a little bit this evening, and he basically was telling me that, you know, he's got some great stories, so it'll be a good interview when we do that, and I was very impressed with him. By the way, they also have people from Turkey. We had a lecturer from Turkey, and that's an unusual country in many ways. And one of the unusual aspects is they're very active in the UFO community.
Yeah, you would think that you know, in the Middle East and Southeast Europe, the area that they're in there, you know, the boundary between Asia and Europe, you know, why would there be such an interest in UFOs? But as a matter of fact, Turkey has one of the highest incidents of sightings of any country in the world outside the United States, the Soviet Union, and, you know, Great Britain, and some of the other countries in Western Europe. It's right up there at the top. And they have a group over there which is renowned actually around the world and has sponsored
the Sirius Research Group.
Right, Sirius UFO Research Group. And they have, each year they sponsor their own international UFO conference, and many people that we have interviewed have been over there and attended that conference, such as I think George Fowler's been over there.
Well, George was here this morning.
Right. I know Bud Hopkins has been over there.
Well, Bud was here this afternoon.
Right. And you remember K.T. Frankowitz?
Yes.
K.T. visited over there and attended a number of those conferences.
Well, you know, talking about this particular conference that they have every year in February, they also had a speaker from Mexico who had some interesting stories to tell, and I'm sure Nancy will get into the details of that a little later in the show. But,
yeah.
You know, Mexico's kind of a hotbed of things, too.
Yeah, well, actually, speaking of that, we have a few sightings that I would like to report on here that are recent, and one of them comes out of Mexico City. And I'm sure whoever is at the conference is probably familiar with this story, but let me relate it. There's no date on it, but I'm sure it's quite recent. And the interesting thing is it involves some employees of a Mexican airline. Here's the story. Two Mexican aviation technicians claim to have recorded 8 UFOs with a camcorder as the objects flew over Mexico City's international airport on Saturday afternoon. Now, Saturday afternoon when? As I say, there's no date on this report, but I suspect it's within the last couple of months. Aviation and photography technicians Alfonso Salazar and Salvador Guerrero told the press that they managed to film the event from the hangar area of the terminal using their camcorder. The events occurred in 3 separate occasions involving a difference of 3 hours and 15 minutes. The first event, recorded at 13:20 local time, involved 6 flying objects that formed an inverted J shape. Later, they saw a tubular shape, and at 22 hours, 55 minutes, GMT, they recorded a spherical UFO. So 3 different sets of objects here. The speed they use, interesting way of putting this, it's a translation from the Spanish. It says the speed they used to disappear was immediate. In other words, they immediately disappeared. And more or less, all of them were at an altitude of 12,000 feet, added the technicians. Air traffic controllers and other pilots stated that on certain occasions, unidentified flying objects are seen in the sky and that these cannot be picked up by radar.
Interesting. You know, a lot of the radar, I understand our radar picks up a lot of these things, but they don't pick it up.
Well, I mean, this varies with the sighting, Jerry. Some are recorded on radar and others are not, and this really depends upon how the radar waves are either being absorbed or reflected by the electromagnetic fields that surround these objects. Is this a controlled event in which radar, they're allowed to be seen on radar, and sometimes they're not? It appears that that's not necessarily the case, because if they're visible in visible light, you know, why hide yourself in radar and vice versa? So I think it just depends upon the electromagnetic field and how the object is maneuvering as to whether or not you can see it or not with radar.
Well, you know, Mexico City has lots of sightings over the years anyway, and the media down there shows it on television pretty routinely.
Right. Yeah, all the time. Now, we have a few more sightings here that I'd like to talk about, because,
well,
as you say, there are a number of people there from all over the world, and we're going to talk about some very recent sightings from all over the world. Guatemala City. The whole city saw it, and it lasted 3 hours. This was at 11 p.m. on January the 10th. The news broadcast got it on tape, and it is a good tape. It proves that there were flying objects in the same area over Guatemala City, and that they were flying around at an incredible speed. So here's a TV station, Guatemala City, got a lot of video of UFOs flying over the city, and apparently a lot of people saw it too.
Yeah, we were talking about television in that part of the world. They do show these things.
Right.
Readily.
Now we have a report coming in from Manchester, England. And, of course, there's quite a few people there at the conference from England.
I had two or three already that we've produced some shows with, and that'll be heard here pretty soon. And everybody, you know, I've run across quite a few people with noticeable British accents.
Right. Well, here is a sighting for them in Manchester. A UFO appeared over the city's center. Nearest building was a CIS insurance building. This sighting occurred at 4:02 p.m. on January the 14th. The UFO flew down vertically from the sky, hovered, then turned north towards Oldham. A second craft that appeared to be a British military aircraft with all kinds of sensors on it pursued this UFO that appeared to be like a fireball at a very low altitude into clouds, and then neither of the objects, the military craft or the UFO, could be seen anymore. So there we have another example of a military craft pursuing a UFO.
And almost every week we have reports of that.
Anymore, we seem to, yes.
And we have discussed that with several people here at the conference. And evidently, the Air Force has some instructions not to attack, but just to shadow these things. And I guess it's kind of works hand in hand with the war on terrorism, and that they have to check everything in the sky. But they learned some time back that you just don't attack UFOs. It could be deadly.
Yeah, some early incidents back in the 50s. We lost a few planes.
I was told by one military retired person here that the shoot to kill order actually was only in the Air Force for 30 days in 1952.
Right.
And they lost several aircraft during that time.
Right. Not a good idea.
And, you know, there have been incidents of recent times when to load their camera guns, and sometimes the UFO thinks it's regular weapons. And they now don't shoot them back or shoot them down. They just cut the power on these jets. As you know, the UFOs have an ability to do that.
Right.
It's over a car, nothing works, et cetera, et cetera. And the little secret about military jet fighters is I don't think any of them glide. They fall like a rock when they don't have any power.
This is true, yes.
And so basically, they fall like a rock for 10 or 15,000 feet, and miraculously the power comes back on, and their pilot's usually able to salvage the flight. But they lose their appetite at chasing the UFO at that time and go straight back to the base. Kind of an interesting idea.
Right.
You know, we have coming up here in a moment a fellow who was in the Air Force, Lieutenant Colonel Wendell Stevens. He was a fighter pilot, but he had heard about UFOs while he was in the Air Force, but he actually didn't see a UFO until later when he was a private pilot flying in his own airplane. And he's got a very interesting story coming up. I think people want to hear about this. It's something he's presenting here at the conference. And then we'll talk to Mike Marino, who is producing the webcast, which is now on demand all next week, so you can watch it at your leisure. And then we'll have Nancy McKinney, who will give us a little overview of everything. So, Larry, unless you got something else you'd like to add, I think maybe we'll bring Wendell on.
I think I've said enough for tonight. We'll meet up again at the end of the show.
I'm sure we will.
And so everybody enjoy this because you're going to have a treat.
You're listening to the UFO Files. We have one of our favorite people here over the years. We've talked to him on the phone many times. Now I've got him in person. That's why we're doing an interview on the phone, because Wendell Stevens is going to be lecturing here tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, and we want everybody to know, because you have something pretty interesting going on. I always want to call you Colonel Stevens, because you are a retired Lieutenant Colonel, correct?
That's correct, yes. What were you interested in?
Well, basically what we want to do is we want to find out about what's happening as far as your lecture tomorrow. This German person was taken aboard an ET, is that correct?
Yes.
I mean a UFO, and there were four different species of ETs, is that correct?
That's correct. He was taken aboard an alien vehicle by arrangement. He had several contacts before this, beginning with a strange light display and then a face-to-face contact. They invited him to come aboard and view something they wanted to show him and told him to be prepared to be away for a couple of days. He said, "Oh, I can't do that." And they said, "Sure, you can." And he said, "Well, if we do it, I have chores to do in the morning. I'll have to go later in the day." They said, "No, we want to pick you up at 4 o'clock in the morning."
Wow.
So he said, "No, but it'll have to be later because I got to do the chores." But the night before, he went to showered, went to bed early, he was awakened at about 2 o'clock in the morning, got up, showered again, dressed, and headed out for the rendezvous, and they were waiting for him. He got there exactly 4 o'clock, walked aboard with them, and they took him out to a laboratory ship where they treated him to an interview and an indoctrination that took 3 days. And he remained aboard, sleeping on the ship and eating their meals, nine meals with them, which he described in great detail.
Well, now, you know, that's the first thing I was going to ask you, Wendell, is what kind of space food did he have?
Well, they had a variety of space food aboard. They had meat, they had vegetables, they had fruits, they had protein, they had foods that we are unfamiliar with that he found very tasty and palatable, except for the pink worms. He didn't like those. Fat pink worms that they grow on the mothership for a food source, a protein source.
What, you know, you mentioned there were more than one species here, Wendell Stevens. What were they? Were they all humanoid or not?
Yes, there were six species working in harmony on the laboratory ship. And there were two or three species aboard the pickup ship that took him out to the lab ship. They were all human species, human-like species, placental animals just like us. One of them was a rather peculiar species. He had his skin was covered with a fine, light-colored fur, So he was a fur-covered human being, and that species had only one sex. And when they paired off, the one that had the stronger bond morphed into a female and bore the offspring. And that sounded a little exotic at first, and somebody told me we have a species of frog on this planet that does the same thing.
Interesting. So he is actually kind of covered with a light fur, maybe like a mouse or something.
That's correct, yes.
And now, how did they communicate with him?
They each species type aboard the craft, and they had six species there, six humans. They each had their own individual language. They also used a universal form of language that they all spoke. And they put a translator device over his head with earphones and wires on it.
Kind of like the United Nations.
Yeah, that translated the conversation directly, and it translated his ideas back to them. So their communication was direct and immediate aboard the ship throughout the indoctrination.
This indoctrination, what was involved? And I know people listening that are within 300 or 400 miles here of Laughlin, Nevada, down on the tip of Arizona, California, Nevada. If you get here for the lecture, hopefully it's worth the drive. But for the other people who will not be able to make it, basically maybe gives a little thumbnail of what this indoctrination was all about and why did they choose this particular fellow.
Well, there were several phases to the indoctrination, but an interesting one that I found interesting, was their description of the origin of Earth's humanity on this planet, which flies in the face of both the creationist and the evolutionist theories. They said humanity was brought here when this planet was ready for inhabitation. And they showed him human beings living on this planet 70 million years ago. That's 5 million years before the disappearance of the dinosaurs. And those little creatures were slight. They were about 4 feet tall, weighed about 90 pounds. They were slender, warrior little creatures. They hunted down a bird saurian for food. It was a large bird saurian. He stood 9 feet from head to ground and 14 feet from the bill to the tip of his tail. And he weighed quite a bit. But this bird saurian had nutritious flesh, very tasty. And the interesting thing about the whole thing, that bird saurian, that creature did not have destructive bacteria in it and did not putrefy. They could store it for a long time without loss.
No refrigerators necessary.
Absolutely. God provides for everything, right?
And you got a good interest here. By the way, you have some interesting material that's available for listeners. You might tell the people about that.
What kind of material?
Don't you have some version of your book on a disc or something, a CD or something?
Well, we have transcribed the German story. This came from East Germany, by the way, and it happened, it occurred at a time in the hottest part of the Cold War when his whole worry in life was ever growing to be an adult because he thought that the world would be destroyed in this mutual assured destruction that we were both facing. And he worried about this, and the people that picked him up said, it won't happen because you're going through, every human species goes through this stage of evolution. It's an early infant stage of evolution. You're still in the incubator. When you get out, you'll overcome it and learn to marshal the resources of your planet and ultimately to move out and never to return. Planets are like nests for humanity. And they evolve, produce the technology, and leave and live in space forever after, was the argument they were offering him.
So basically, you can, do you have an address or something people could write to get this?
I have put the thing down on a mini disc. It's a half-size disc, 70 megabyte disc. It's, the English translation is just completed. We're going to eventually publish it in a hard copy book form, but it's only available on mini disc at the present time.
And is it available, do you have an address that people could write or call or telephone number or something?
Okay, it can be ordered from my post box. That's W.C. Stevens, P.O. Box 17206. That's 17206, Tucson, Arizona, 85731. It's $10 for the whole book. It's a 400-page book.
And the $10 covers the shipping too, huh?
Well, the shipping is another 50 cents postage. It ships for two postage stamps.
Okay, well, that's one of the advantages of putting things on disk.
Oh, yes, yeah. It's It's not bulky at all. You could carry it around in your shirt pocket. It has all the pictures and pages in it.
I remember one time in a previous conversation we had, when you were in the Air Force, you actually saw a UFO while a pilot. Is that correct?
I have seen them 5 times in my life, but never while flying in the military. I saw them once flying in civilian life afterwards, where I met one in the air over Indianapolis. But they were truly not airplanes. They were disc forms, clearly. They were metallic, except for one group that looked like an orange ping pong ball in the sky at night. And there were 8 of those running in a line, one behind the other.
Now, you just had a birthday, 81, in January?
Yes, that's right.
And so, congratulations, and did you have a big party? Or
No, too old for parties.
just let it pass as another day.
Absolutely, that's correct.
Well, we look forward to that lecture, and it'll be tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock here at the UFO Congress. And, of course, when the book comes out, we'll have you on for an extended time and talk about it all.
All right, very good. Thank you, sir.
Wendell Stevens, and we are here at the UFO Congress and International Film Festival. I'm Jerry Pippin. We'll be right back after this word. Well, you're listening to the UFO Files, and I'm Jerry Pippin. And as we said, we're here at the Flamingo Hilton on the beautiful Colorado River in Laughlin, Nevada, and the 13th Annual UFO Congress and Film Festival is underway. And, of course, Saturday, there'll be taping all day for a big internet broadcast. It'll be on demand. And the reason I bring this up is we have our good friend, the Bay Area Internet Magnet, the one and only Mike Marino is here. Mike, this is your project.
Thank you, Jerry. It's so good to be with you. This is great to be here today.
Now, originally we were going to do this live, and the reason we didn't is there was a mix-up, and all of the live connections ended up being in the Flamingo in Las Vegas.
Correct, yes. So we had to switch it, make it a tape, and then we're going to broadcast it on demand this coming week.
Now that means I can get it anytime, 24/7?
That's right.
And so actually it'll be probably a little better deal, more convenient for a lot of people. Now you'll be telecasting all day, all of the people that speak.
All the speakers will be on videotape, and we can log on to our website, flippinhearing.com, and get all the details on how to view it, and then you can start and stop if you like, and I can watch it between the speakers.
Larry Dickin, our UFO producer, and helps with that whole file. He and I were kidding the other day about this thing. It's going to run from 8:30 until 5 or 5:30, and we were saying, well, when are we going to eat if we're watching this thing?
Right, exactly. Well, there wasn't going to be a break, but now, since it's going to be on tape, you can stop it, start it whenever you like. It's going to be 8.5 hours packed, because Wendell Stevens is going to be up at the lunch break, and you know he's going to have some amazing stuff. In fact, Bob may even put him up with what he is going to be talking about tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, we had Wendell on just before you. Wendell was telling a little bit about this incident. It's an amazing, amazing story. People will really like that. And I met the German interpreter a little earlier today, so
he puts that up, that'd be a great story.
And people can actually check on our website. We have a link over to your website. But give that address to people listening on the radio.
Sure. It's openhearings.com. That's www.openhearings.com.
On a demand thing like that, is the price the same or what?
Yes, it's still the same price, $29.95.
And they get at least 8 hours of material.
8.5 hours, actually.
8.5 hours, and it will all be, it's just like being here at the conference. And the only, I guess the big deal is, and all of our shows are on demand too, is that that means that people can take part in it when they want to.
That's the benefit, is that you can look at it whenever you have the time to look at it. And you can start it, you can stop it, whenever you like.
I may catch you here unprepared for this, because I just grabbed you in the hall and said, come on, Mike, let's do this right now. I wanted to know who are some of the people on Saturday?
Oh, Saturday will be up with Michael Horn talking about Edward Billy Meyer from Switzerland. And then Dr. Norman Berggren, who wrote the Ringmakers of Saturn. He's got an amazing story to tell. And then at noon, while we're having a lunch break, there'll be the videotape of Wendell Stevens that might be the speech that he gives tomorrow, Friday, about Japan and Germany. So that could be fascinating. And then right after that will be a man from Mexico, Santiago Victoria Garza.
Easy for you to say. I'm impressed.
Wow, it's quite a name. But at any rate, Santiago will tell us about a big major event in England that happened back in September of 2003, where they were having an international air show. And evidently some typical classical circular aircraft were right over the airbase, and they got lots of pictures of it. So that'll be quite a story. And then the wrap-up of the day would be with Daniel Sheehan, who will tell us, I don't know exactly what, but you know, Daniel was the attorney who helped Dr. John Mack at Harvard University when he wrote his book, Abduction. And the faculty there was thinking about removing him from the faculty, but Daniel Sheehan helped him, and he's what do they call the man at the end of the race? I can't remember the word for that. But he's the tail end, the anchor man on Saturday afternoon.
He's the wrap-up speaker.
Not wrap-up. There's another word for it. The man who passed the baton at the end. Word for that.
Well, I talked to Bob Brown, and the baton is going to be passed because next year he's going to do it again.
Oh, good. Well, that's great.
You know, he's had to have some personal problems with his wife's health and things, but he's pretty certain that everything will be okay, and we'll have a 14th annual UFO conference.
I hope it happens, because this is such a great...
It's going to happen. He's insisting. I said, well, let me know when you decide. He says, no, I'm deciding right now.
Fantastic. Well, you know, Bob and Terry do such a wonderful job here. They bring together people all around the world with information that is not available anywhere else. There are other people who put on some UFO shows. Granted, they're good, but typically they're only one day or maybe 2 days. But Bob puts on an event for a whole week, and he brings people from so many different countries, so many stories. This really, truly is the biggest and the best UFO event.
Mike Marino, we wish you a lot of luck with this, and I know that you will probably be doing more adventures like this in the future, because... this thing really can only continue to build, and I think maybe fate, or maybe those people from the other dimension, or somebody, intervened here, and maybe this is all going to come out a little better.
Thank you, Jerry. I hope it does, and it could be a blessing in disguise, because, again, people will have an opportunity to see it over an extended length of time, a week rather than just one day, and at their leisure, whenever they want to tune in, they can look at it. And Saturday is going to be an incredible day. So I say to everybody, if you're at all interested, don't miss it.
That's right. Now, once again, give the website that they find us on. And folks, you can always go to our UFO site, click on the little neon icon, and you'll be over there. And we have the information as well, and the banner will be updated to say it's on demand.
Thank you. It's www.openhearings.com.
By the way, Mike, have you... had any experiences yourself with UFO?
Well, I had a very unusual experience, actually, about 3 years ago. My great uncle died in Los Angeles, and I went for the services. And at the end of the day, I was with my aunt, and I was looking for a newspaper that was printed in an article. It was in USA Today. My uncle lived in... Los Angeles at the time. So she told me she didn't think USA Today was available where she lived, but she said if I wanted to try, there was a store down the street. So I went down the road to look for it, but it wasn't there at the newsstand. And on my way back, I noticed a bright light, kind of like above my aunt and uncle's house. Actually, it looked like it was back a little ways, maybe a block or so away. Kind of in the sky, and I thought it was a plane, because, you know, there's a lot of planes and airports in L.A. It was very, very bright. And in fact, my eyes kind of cast down after I saw it at first. But as I continued to look at it, this light remained in one place. And by the time I got to my aunt's place, I looked up, and it was still there. And now, it was like a blue beam of light coming out from the bottom of it. It was incredible. So I called in through the screen door to my aunt. I said, Aunt Madeline, Portland, you got to come out here and take a look at this. She came out with my cousin and his wife, and we, the four of us, were there looking at it, and it was hovering there in the sky. It was very bright with a blue beam of light coming out from it, and my aunt was looking over my shoulder across the street. She said, the kids across the street are looking up at it, too. So that was my experience, and I've never seen anything else, but that really was something amazing.
That's quite a good story. We wish you once again a lot of luck, and I know you'll be doing great production here. I know some of the production people involved in this thing, and it's an on-demand webcast, folks, not live, so that means you don't have to just sit in there Saturday and figure out how you're going to get your soda and your tuna fish sandwich in.
Exactly. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it. Yes, all next week, 16th to the 23rd, available at www.openhearings.com. And it's going to be what happens here in Laughlin, Nevada, day after tomorrow, Saturday, Valentine's Day, the 14th. It's going to be an amazing program.
One of the interesting things, folks, is you can come and see it in person and watch it at your leisure on demand.
Yes, that's right. Of course, it's always nice to be here in person, but for a lot of folks, it's just impossible because it's tough to get here. But if you can't be here, the next best thing is to watch it on the internet.
Mike Moreno, this is Jerry Pippin, and coming up next, we're going to talk to our production assistant, Nancy McKinney, who's been at every lecture, and we're going to do an overview of what's been discussed for the whole week and what's coming up for the weekend. Of course, this is big telecast all next week as well, on demand, a webcast. Mike, once again, it was great having you. This is Jerry Pippin. You're listening to the UFO File. Yeah, we've had some interesting guests already here, and be sure to check us out on the website at jerrypippin.com, J-E-R-R-Y-P-I-P-P-I-N, P as in Paul. Click on the little neon A, and we're here at the Laughlin Flamingo Hotel Casino, where the UFO Congress, actually the 13th convention, is underway. They have a little green alien outside. Well, he's not too little. He's about three stories tall, welcoming people to come in as they get ready for the big webcast, which will be taping tomorrow, as you just heard Mike Moreno talk about, and that'll be on demand starting on Monday. We all have a link. In fact, we already do on our website for more information on that. We have Nancy McKinney here, our assistant. Actually, she's in charge of the whole organization here as far as these conventions. She goes to everything. Nancy, on top of everything else, you did a little lecture last night in front of about 100 people or so.
Well, Jerry, I wouldn't call it a lecture exactly, but I just showed some of my paranormal photographs to a small group.
Well, it was on the big screens, and then you did well, so don't be so humble. Folks, she's a big expert. She got this magic camera, and as you know, if you've been over to our website and looked at it, you can see some of the pictures. You've been to almost every one of these meetings, and let's talk about what happened today, I guess, or if you want to start with where we left off the last time we talked, which was Wednesday. Either way, I know on Wednesday we had Stan Gorton talking about the Keksberg experiment, and of course George Filer was here as well. The Filer's Files, and Larry and I will be doing a UFO Files report, but George is in the air, and they can't really post his Filer's report till he gets back to New Jersey, so it may be next week before we do it.
Well, Jerry, I'm going to give you an overview of just a few people that I've heard since the last time we talked, and one of those people is Mary Rodwell from Australia. Now, one thing that she mentioned that I thought was really important was that this whole UFO phenomenon, abductions, and all of this really is a global phenomenon. But the big problem is in Western society. Western society is not being educated to this phenomenon. And this is just my comment here. This was not Mary's. But the media is not reporting this. I mean, we're reporting it. It's on the internet. But it's not on television. It's not in the newspapers. How are you going to find out about this?
Yeah, we were talking about that at the top of the program, Larry and myself, about some reports in Mexico City and also down in Guatemala. It seems that in other parts of the world, these reports show up on the mainstream media all the time.
Well, I think that's true, and people often say when they leave the United States and they go to another country on vacation, they love to watch television in other countries. They love to look at the news. They love to see the newspapers and the magazines because they get news about what's going on in the world that they don't get at home in the U.S.
Let's talk about Mary for a moment. She's from Australia. Does she still live there, or do you know?
I don't know. As far as I do, she does. Now, she's doing a lot of research right now with children that she calls star children. Now, these new generations of children that are coming in, she says, have multidimensional awareness, which means that they have abilities above and beyond, let's say, the children of our generation. These new children have psychic abilities. They're much more advanced socially, they're much more advanced spiritually and probably intellectually too. So if any of you out there have children that seem to be quite different, you might want to look into some books out there on these star children. Now, they also go by the name of indigo children.
And those are available at different places, so they can probably find the books fairly easily.
Well, you know, this is another thing, too, is that a lot of bookstores in this country do not carry certain books on the paranormal or New Age. Some bookstores won't carry any what they call New Age books at all. So sometimes you have to just, I hate to give them a plug necessarily, but Amazon, you might have to go to Amazon.com, or if you know specifically of New Age bookstores, that would be another place to find out about indigo children.
And you enjoyed Mary's lecture completely, I know.
Very much. She was very articulate. She's very knowledgeable. She's done a lot of research, and she's a hypnotherapist, and she's also written a book called Awakening, which looks very interesting. I bought that book myself.
And in fact, you always come to these conferences, and you end up buying a lot of books and lots of tapes.
Well, I do. I buy a lot of books, but the nice thing about this job with you, Jerry, is that now people are starting to give me books. So, boy, that's great. I love that.
Yeah. Like somebody gave you one this morning. That's good. Well, that's the whole idea. We're giving them promotion, so why not? Okay, what happened next?
Well, I also went to hear Bud Hopkins and Carol Rainey. And, of course, Bud is always fascinating because he reports on cases that he's currently working on, and one case that he talked about that was pretty interesting was of a man who had seen a craft outside his house, and he decided to take a picture. So he went in the house, his wife was in the kitchen, he went in the house to get his camera, didn't speak to his wife as he went in the house, didn't tell her what he was seeing outside in the sky, which was very unusual in itself. But nevertheless, he went in the house, got the camera, took it outside, took a picture of the craft. Then he walked back into the house, put the camera down, and was transported through the roof of the house. In fact, my understanding is he was transported through the roof of the kitchen where his wife was working, and she didn't even see him. She didn't see him go through the roof.
He was there, then he was gone,
yes.
Now, Carol Ramey, of course, has written that book with Bud that's out now, and that's about the new physics, and that's part of it.
It is. In fact, they were talking about their new book, Sight Unseen, and Carol was giving some scientific background at the beginning of the talk, and I think she did a really good job, considering there are a lot of people in this audience that are not, let's say, scientifically inclined.
Well, but she's explained that fairly well before, and she has a background. She started making science films, you know, for a certain organization, so documentaries. And then after Bud and Carol, what happened?
After Bud and Carol, I heard from Leah Haley. She was just riveting. She's had a history of abductions since childhood. She has several books out. The really interesting thing, though, about her talk is that she brought up the issue of mind control experiments in this country. And with the implications that there is mind control of abductees going on by some organization either within our government or some secret government here or even perhaps the military.
Yeah, In fact, I talked in great detail about that with her, and she feels that the military probably is doing it if you really got down to, you know, who's doing it. And basically the reason they pick on abductees is because they're easily discounted.
Well, that seems to be her thought, Jerry, that if abductees are taken or as used in these mind control experiences, that nobody would believe them if they tried to tell anybody, and that besides that, the abductees might just think it was some further symptom of their abduction.
And the interesting thing, Leah Haley was very big in the early 90s. She was on the John Rivers Show and quite a few other talk shows, mainstream shows, and people have tried to really, for some reason, discount this woman, and this woman actually is one of the more believable people I've ever talked to.
Well, you know, Jerry, I heard at the book signing table after her talk, I was standing around there, and I heard several people say, and quite a few people went to the table immediately to have their book signed. I heard them say that she was extremely believable, so that's much to her credit.
Now, on Thursday, we kicked it off a filer in the morning, and then after that, we had the fellow we've talked about on the radio quite a lot at 10:30. Don't remember his name offhand, but you actually went to the afternoon sessions. We were busy that morning on radio business. So the first session you saw was in the afternoon.
Well, actually, after Leah Haley, there was really no other speaker on Thursday, but this morning I heard two speakers. One was Riley Martin, and the other was Lizette Larkins. Riley Martin...
See, the days run together. I was thinking of Thursday seemed like it was a long one. That was just yesterday.
Well, Jerry, you slept in this morning, so you kind of missed some of the action. So maybe that's why it's running together for you.
Telling all these secrets about me, right? See, everybody thinks I'm dedicated. I get up at 6 a.m. work till midnight. Well, not this week. I had to take a break. Okay, what happened here with Riley?
Well,
he's an African American, which is rare. Now, I don't know if they actually abduct African Americans all the time or not, but he says he was.
Well, yes, he said he was abducted when he was a small boy, and that he's been on the mothership, and that he has been taken to Saturn. And an interesting thing about what Riley said was that when they got to Saturn, he said there were many, many ships, there were many saucers, there were orbs of light, there were these triangular or boomerang-shaped crafts, and he said that they actually, the extraterrestrials around Saturn actually mine the rings of Saturn for minerals, I suppose, and whatnot, precious metals. But I found this was sort of interesting.
And we've talked to a couple other people that they'll be hearing their shows broadcast. They'll be part of shows in the near future and talk about Saturn, the Saturn project, et cetera, things. So Saturn's come up in this meeting quite a lot. Now, I don't have my timer in front of me. How much time do we have left, do you think?
Well, I think our time is about up. But
let's hurry and get this last one in.
I did just want to say about Lizette Larkins that she was very, very impressive this morning. And she feels that basically this whole movement is to teach us to be more spiritual human beings on this planet. So that sort of ended the morning on a good note.
Okay, Larry, you're missing a good conference here. Thank you very much, Nancy, for bringing us up to date. And too bad you're not here with us to have a party. And some people are actually really enjoying themselves a whole lot, and that's one of the great things about these conferences. We might mention, Larry, before we close, that they will, of course, always make available on the UFO Congress website the tapes and videos of the speakers that you can order anytime. So, you got any closing comments yourself?
Well, Jerry, you're putting me on the spot here in the middle of the afternoon. But you know, I'm just really impressed by the broad scope of presentations that Bob has assembled for this conference. I mean, you know, it runs the gamut from the very scientific to the very esoteric.
Well, you know, we were talking to Bob Brown earlier at the party, and he said that several people had said this is one of the better conferences, but that before the conference began, a lot of people just really didn't think this one would be very good. It turned out to be one of the better ones. And
well,
because, you know, they're looking for star names on every speaker.
Right. Well, you know, that's certainly the case. Is many of the conferences around the country is that you go for the known names and some really good presentations that are out there can go unnoticed and not be booked in a conference because the person isn't well known. And of course, that could be a big mistake because there's a lot of people out there with some really good information. When given an opportunity to present, they do a really good job.
Well, you're going to have to tell me when our time is up. I'm at a handicap here in the end that I don't have a clock in front of me.
Well, I have a clock, and we got plenty of time.
Okay, bye. Just wanted to cover some of the other things that we're planning on doing. We will, of course, be taking part in the webcast, which will be on demand next week, and it'll be on a 24/7 basis. Originally, they were going to do it live, but they put in, as you heard Mike Marino talk earlier, they installed a fiber optic line at the wrong place. The Flamingo Hotel.
There are two Flamingo Hotels?
The other one's in Las Vegas.
Oh, well, yes, of course. And they actually did it up there?
Yes.
Well, they're prepared for the future, aren't they?
Well, that's what they said. They said there's something coming up in, I think it's September they can use it for.
Right. So it wasn't a waste of money.
Right. So it'd just be a little longer time on the return of their investment. Interestingly enough, the filer's reports have not been posted yet, but they probably will be any time now. He never misses. He even posted one on Christmas Day. But it's a long ways to Laughlin, Nevada, to New Jersey, as you well know. And he probably spent most of the time on an airplane.
Yeah, I suspect, and knowing George, he's probably home right now, having made a trip home on the plane earlier. And he's probably typing away right as we're talking. And hopefully we're going to get that report in tonight, be able to post it. And, you know, we'll certainly be covering that as soon as you return next week.
Right. We might even do it on my way back. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
How things develop. People need to check here every day for different programs that we do for Pioneer Radio, and most of these programs are posted on the web as well, on demand. And all of the programs will be edited, packaged, produced, the music, commercials, things put in, and they'll be starting rolling out on the web probably by Wednesday. Next week, basically, that's our plan at this point. Now, as far as the form, we have a form that people fill out on our website that they can report sightings. We've had quite a few.
Yes, I just got some new input today, as a matter of fact, and this was not on our UFO form. This was from a listener who had a paranormal experience and was looking for an explanation. You know, we certainly encourage both on our UFO files page and on our paranormal page. We have a listener's input form, which you can fill out and provide us pictures, videos, eyewitness accounts, your own accounts. You can tell us whether or not you wish to be interviewed in the future, and we will be picking people to interview and you know, doing phone and interviews with them in the future. And if there's any way that we can answer questions that you pose, we'll certainly attempt to do so and attempt to get you in touch with people who can help. And that's exactly what I did today on a message I received from a lady who was looking for, basically, you know, I think I know what's going on here because I've had many psychic experiences during my lifetime, but I'm not sure, and I'd like some advice on this. So I referred her to one of our paranormal experts, Miss Chrissy Blaze, out in California, and perhaps Chrissy can give her a little insight.
You know, Chrissy and I talk all the time, and she doesn't live this far from Las Vegas or Laughlin, but she's always got something going on when we're here. I always try to get her and her husband Gary to come down and do a show with us because it's been a while. But we're going to do one on the phone with her pretty shortly, too. It'll be coming up pretty well. You know, and she's got a great website. People need to go over and check her out at chrissyblaze.com. In addition to, you know, the UFO page where a lot of people go, we have a paranormal section. You call it the Parazone. It's right there on the front page. And at least two of these shows that I've done so far will end up being posted on that section. Going to really expand that a lot. We have a lady who has a haunted house, and we're going to talk to her pretty soon, do a show about that as well. One of my favorites, as you know, the traditional ones about ghosts, haunted houses, things like that. So don't let that Parazone get past you without checking it every once in a while. On our website at jerrypippin.com. Well, Larry, we are getting pretty close to the end of the show.
We got a couple minutes.
Yeah, and before we get out of here, we need to remind everybody once again that people can actually order some of these lectures that you heard Nancy talk about. You can actually, starting next week, they'll be available for people to order. And you can get them, I believe they still offer them on videotape, VHS, as well as DVD, and also audio tapes. And the presentations are quite well. Our good friend Jim Mars, I noticed, threw in an extra little lecture that he's doing tonight at 6 o'clock in one of the meeting rooms. So, I don't, you know, he was on for 2.5 hours Sunday night, but I guess he just didn't have enough time.
Well, the man does like to talk, and he does like to have a good time, so I'm glad that he's enjoying the conference.
Oh, he always likes this conference. He comes every year, and like I say, he was on Sunday. Most of the speakers leave right away. He hangs around till the last dog dies, in this part of the country. And he had some pretty interesting things to tell me the other night, and we'll have a show with him before long, and I think people will be amazed about some of the things he's into already. He was telling me, which is kind of like you and I, he says, I'm ahead of the curve. He says, I talk about the Kennedy assassination. I had these way out theories, and all of a sudden that became part of the, you know, the conventional wisdom. He says, then he named another couple of things he was into about the Iraq War and things. He says, now that's becoming conventional wisdom. And he says, I really expect the things to happen on 9/11 to become conventional wisdom. As you know, he has a new book out about that.
Right.
In which there's just a lot of unanswered questions, and he points the finger squarely at some certain people.
Yes, he does. And, you know, of course, that gets into the realm of politics, which we also cover on the site. And
yes,
we certainly, if you're interested in politics, come to jerrypippin.com.
Yeah, we got a good section there, too.
I think that's going to wrap it up for this show, Jerry. Our time is about up. So
be sure and check our website, jerrypippin.com. Click on the little neon egg up front, or the little, we have a little, you know, menu at the side there where you can go to UFO section or the Parazone section, and always stay informed. Plus we put on the front there, Larry, any of the new things we add every day. Just scroll down past all the pictures there, they'll see it.
Right.
I've enjoyed it. Thanks very much. Once again, thanks to the lovely Nancy McKinney for helping us out.
And both of you, keep your eyes to the skies.
Good job with the flying saucers.
Good night.